Welcome to Brand Talk, the only show on radio where branding gets personal here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and we're here to talk about brands, your personal brand, your career brand, and even your personal brand. Sponsored exclusively today by the Whitmore Group, where a relationship is a partnership. Folks, for those of you who are joining us for the first time, this show is about transitions and how the science and psychology of branding can help change your relationships for the better, your career or business for the better, your life for the better, so that you can become the brand you are truly meant to be. This is a call-in show, and it's your show where we want to hear from you. So if you're going through a transition, or are you concerned about your brand or someone else's brand, why not give us a call at 914-636-0110, and let's talk your brand through. That's 914-636-0110. Or how about emailing us at doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. So for today's opener, folks, I want to talk about the Winston Churchill brand and what we can, in fact, learn from the great Winston Churchill. And Winston Churchill, if some of you may not know who this great personality and leader was, he was the British Prime Minister who saved Britain and Germany. Saved Britain from Germany and the tyrants of his time during World War II. And I believe he is this larger-than-life character and personality who can teach us a great deal about perseverance, transitions, and picking oneself up and starting all over again. Imagine this, 1945, the war was over, the man saved England and the free world from the tyrants of the time. He called for elections. The result, he lost the election after doing all he could for England. Yes, this was the man who was at Yalta with Roosevelt, with Stalin, and still he was voted out. Hard to believe. So you can imagine that after the election, Churchill was depressed at the results. But what he did do is he accepted a speaking engagement slightly after the election by Eton. And those of you who are not familiar with the Eton School, this is the famous school where everybody who was anybody, the rich, the affluent, the upper middle class, celebrities, kings, princes, all went to this great school. And he gave this speech. He said, "Graduates of Eton, remember, never, never, never give up. Never, never, never give up. Never, never, never give up. Never, ever, ever give up." He sat down and said no more. And this speech was so simple and could not emphasize enough the lessons about life, and not only how he motivated the British people to be tough after London was in ruins, as well as confronting his own destiny of losing the election. What we can learn from this is not only about perseverance, not only transitions, but how we can respond to these kinds of setbacks in our lives. And we must address in our lives from time to time setbacks. And, excuse me, and we try our best, like Churchill, when we're asked to either leave a position, which we think we've done or are doing a great job, when we're told that our services are no longer wanted, or when others express their dissatisfaction with the job that we have done. And we feel, much like Churchill, that we have failed. And we have to remember, as Churchill did, that we must never give up. But like Churchill, what we have to do is look at this as an opportunity for us to reevaluate our brand and do what I call a brand over, not a makeover, okay? Makeovers are cosmetic. They're not real. It's what geniuses or consultants tell us to do, like wear a bow tie as opposed to a straight tie, or not wear a tie at all, to wear a black shirt, to shave our heads as opposed to keeping our hair the way we want it to be kept. In other words, it's a way of the professionals telling us what we must be, as opposed to doing what I suggest, which is called a makeover, I should say a brand over, where you look at who you are from the inside, and based on who you are on the inside, become the brand that you want to be and adapt those, what I call related product features, those external factors that people will respond to. And as I always like to say, the secret with this show and the secret in branding is that we always have to be our own brand. To thy own brand be true. And what do I really mean by that? Well, a few years ago, I had a friend of mine who loved to teach. And he was having difficulty getting a job, but he got a job. And he got a job as a tutor. So he was teaching, but he loved the classroom. And people were telling him, look at all the money you're making doing this tutoring. This is really wonderful. It's a great opportunity for you. But it wasn't his brand. And that's what we have to always do in our lives, folks. We have to look at what is us, what is truly who we truly are, and be the brands that we always want to be, not the brands that people tell us that we should be. And so what Churchill taught us is that we, in fact, have to be consistent. We have to be able to persevere. And by the way, a few years later, our friend Churchill did in fact give up. Did not give up, but came back and was reelected to as prime minister. So that his never gave up did in fact ring true. And I just think he is some wonderful person that we can learn so much from. So that if you have an opinion on Winston Churchill, why don't you give us a call at 914-636-0110. Or maybe you have something about your brand that you like to talk about. And since I do have a degree in psychology, I might be able to provide some help on that side. Since I've taught marketing for a number of years, I might be able to help you on that side. There may be a business that you like to start. Give us a call, 914-636-0110. And what we're going to do in just a minute is come back to Brand Talk, but now we're going to have a word from our sponsor, the Whitmore Group. Folks, insurance is something that we usually don't like to talk about. But at the Whitmore Group, they know how. Whether it's for your business or your home,
the Whitmore Group is the place to go. That's where I go for my insurance needs, and I never doubt that they're looking out for me. Simply put, with James Metzger at the helm and his excellent team, your insurance needs are always taken care of. Whether it's commercial property and casualty, personal or health insurance, estate planning, or financial services, the Whitmore Group is where a relationship is a partnership. 516-746-4141 is the number to call, 516-746-4141, or on the web at whitmoregroup.com. And tell them Dr. Tantillo sent you.
We are back. And once again, if you'd like to give us a call, talk about your brand, about transitions, about perseverance, or anything that you would like to talk about in terms of marketing. And we're going to be talking about our winner and loser post coming up that should get people talking. We're at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. I like to remind you that my name is Dr. John Tantillo. I'm the host of Brand Talk, where branding gets personal, here on WVOX Radio, 1460 on your AM dial. And now, folks, without any further ado, what we like to do is get into our winner and loser of the week. And each week, I choose two brands that I believe have either exceeded or failed in basic brand fundamentals so that you can implement the takeaways into your own brand life. So let's talk about our winner of the week. And the winner of the week is Google and Zagat's, two great brands that I really love. And a little bit over about a week ago, Google bought Zagat's, probably one of the most esteemed restaurant review services around. And for me, it was a great move. Zagat's is an essential tool for a serious restaurant goer, especially a guy like me. But in recent years, the company has been fighting increasing competition and digital trends. Their iconic Burgundy guidebook still sells robustly, but fewer sites like Yelp and OpenTable have been grabbing market share as consumers increasingly use locally driven online services to navigate the restaurant terrain. But with this unification of the two brands, I think we're going to see the excellence that is Zagat, gain the great next generation advantage that is Google. Apparently, Google was working hard to gain foothold in the local advertising market and services like Yelp, which the company tried unsuccessfully to buy a few years ago. And of course, Zagat's provide a way into the market through their very relevant local content. The benefit for Zagat is that they get to come out of the web paywall that the service has been hidden behind, literally because search engines rank such sites lower. The brand will get the kind of hyper-visibility that only Google can deliver. But from a brand perspective, what's important here is that the brand essentials of both companies are being put together perfectly. Google's powerful capacity to unite searches with what they need is being linked to Zagat's legendary credibility and quality in terms of review content. Bottom line, Google has always been supplying the most relevant result, and Zagat has been supplying the best information to the restaurant searcher. In many years, they have always been in the same business. What Google does here is add reach, while Zagat adds depth. One other thing is really worth noting. Tim and Nina Zagat have been founders in the mainstreams of the company since the beginning, and have worked hard to make this happen. Not surprisingly, these are the same folks who turned their booklets based on ratings from friends to a powerful business brand. You see, Tim and Nina tried to sell the company but had no luck when they couldn't find a buyer. But with Google, they identified a brand that they felt could really benefit from the union. And according to the New York Times deal book, Tim and Nina made sure to get noticed by decision makers at Google who could make this happen. Apparently, after earlier deals had gone nowhere, they had asked Goldman Sachs and others whether Google might be interested in their company, only to be told, forget about it. But they saw the sense in joining these forces with Google and persisted. And this is the thing that we can learn. They didn't give up, much like Churchill. And we can't give up when we want to do this transition. So what did they do? In 2008, they sat in the front row of a presentation by Marissa Mayer, Google's vice president for local maps and other content. They gave their business card, and not long after that, the Zagats were sitting in front of another of Mayer's presentation. This time, they brought her brochures for their wine club. In other words, they were building on their brand. So it's not only restaurants, it's also other services that they could bring. Okay? The lesson here is that no one will work harder for yourself, for your brand than yourself, not even the geniuses over at Goldman Sachs. So that what you have to sometimes do with your brand is you believe in it, you have to go there, and you got to, as the kids would say, just do it. And I just think that this is a wonderful brand. I love both. I use both extensively, and for me, they are definitely the winner of the week. Now for the loser. Here we go, folks. People want to be hip as opposed to worrying about the brand. Well, the loser for me is the 92nd Street Y, now to be called, are you ready for this? 92Y. Why would anyone want to change the name to 92Y? My question is, does any of the customers of the 92nd Street Y refer to the 92nd Street Y as 92Y? Or is this a pronouncement from on high, where marketing hocus pocus is taking part? I just think it's a bad idea when marketing people start to make names that people or their customers really don't know and might not be comfortable with. Now, the 92nd Street Y folks were using Let's Meet at 92Y, I can understand them, in fact, doing this. But for them simply to make this pronouncement on high to change the brand name is not really good stuff. And I had talked about what the YMCA did a few months ago, and they changed their name from the YMCA to the Y. The difference here is that most people, or most of the audience, or most of the customers of the YMCA were referring to it as the Y. So that's fine. And if you remember, even a few years ago, a few months ago, I believe, Chevy was telling their dealers to not call their cars Chevys, but to refer to them as Chevrolets. But the problem with that is most Chevy lovers refer to their cars as Chevys. You don't want to interfere with your customers. If your customers like the name, use it. And the jury for me is still out for the 9-2Y. And they are straddling the fences by using both names in their materials. And time will only tell as to whether or not it will catch on. My guess, it won't. But only time will tell. And so my takeaway here, ladies and gentlemen, is that no one can fight for your brand the way you can. And that's our winner and loser of the week. And maybe you have maybe you disagree with me. Maybe you agree with me. Maybe you have a brand that you might want to talk about. Well, why don't you give us a call? 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. Or give us an email at doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. Now, I have to say, I did not watch the Emmys, but my favorite show on television, and I always get a little nervous when I am honest about the kinds of television shows that I like, because people might think I'm a little different or strange or whatever. But I just have to fess up, and my producer, I had mentioned to him a few months ago. I said, you know, I gotta say, there's this TV show that it's got great writing. I love the show, and it's called Modern Family. Well, he proceeded to tell me, yes, it's great. Everybody loves it. I said, really? So anyway, a few days later, I go to MSNBC, and I'm in the green room, and I'm talking to another producer, and I said, and I remember, this is a different network, and I said, you know, I got to say, I was just talking to my producer, and I was mentioning how much I like Modern Family, and he said it's the best written show on television. So I said, really? And we start getting into Modern Family. And I'm generally a late adopter when it comes to these new television shows. But, I mean, to me, it's just a wonderful show. But the point is, it won 5 Grammy Awards, and it was nominated for 17. I mean, you know, and it won for Outstanding Comedy Series. So I must be I must have my finger on something right, because I just think it's a wonderful show. And why do I like the show? And I would have to say it's the characters, all right? The characters are just so, they're flawed, but they're lovable, and they're human, and they're real. And I remember as a kid watching the situation comedies of old, and a lot of the people, a lot of the characters, not the people, but the characters in these shows were very, very unrealistic, like Leave It to Beaver, where, you know, the parents were not yellers and screamers. And that surely was not where I had come from. And, you know, Father Knows Best, where the father would wear a jacket to dinner after he would come home. I mean, it was, in fact, something very, very different. And so what I like about this show, it's very, very real. The characters have flaws, and to me, it is simply a wonderful brand. And with that in mind, I would also like to say that there's a new show coming out, and this new show that's coming out reminds me of my childhood. And first of all, their logo is a great brand, and it's a retro brand, and it's called Pan Am. And my father worked for Pan Am. My two uncles worked for Pan Am. And I flew on Pan Am when I was a graduate student, an undergraduate student, flying all around the world because my dad worked for that great airline. And, they have a television show coming up this coming Sunday on ABC. And what's great about why I like this brand so much is that I was in the subway the other day. Yes, I take the subway. It's the most efficient way of getting around in New York City, especially when the president is in town. So I was in the subway and I saw the Pan Am logo, which to me is one of the all-time great logos of all time. Terrific logo. And it reminded me of all those associations of a kid with that logo and what a great brand Pan Am was and how well they treated their employees and how we would have in the house the Pan Am paraphernalia from the little from a Pan Am bag that now they're using to promote the series and to the little medals that we wore as kids to say that we were pilots, unofficial pilots. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful memories and really a great brand. And as a lot of people said, it was considered the best airline in the world at the time. And if anybody remembers, they remember it by saying, Pan Am, the world's most experienced airline. After the break, we're going to do Did You Know That? More brand talk, your calls, but now a commercial break.
National news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lisa Lissera. The Fed looking to boost the economy, saying it will sell $400 billion of its short-term securities to buy long-term holdings.
The committee intends to purchase by the end of June 2012 $400 billion of Treasury securities with remaining maturities of 6 to 30 years and to sell an equal amount of Treasury securities with remaining maturities of 3 years or less.
Peter Barnes with the Fox Business Network. Wall Street's response, the Dow down 131 points. President Obama reacting to the release of two Americans held in Iran for 2 years.
Wonderful, wonderful news by Biden. We are thrilled. And I could not feel better for their families and those moms who we've been in close contact with. It's a wonderful day for them and for us.
Shane Bauer and Josh Fatale, along with Sarah Short, were charged with spying after being arrested at the Iran-Iraq border. Fox News, we report, you decide.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Forecast Westchester County and the vicinity for this afternoon. We'll see partly to mostly cloudy skies. Highs will climb into the middle 70s. Periods of rain likely this evening. Overnight lows falling into the middle 60s. On Thursday, we'll see patchy fog in the morning. Showers likely. Possibly a thunderstorm into the afternoon. Highs into the middle 70s. Continued unsettled on Friday. Showers likely. Highs into the middle 70s. Mostly cloudy. More showers are likely on Saturday into the middle 70s. Could be some late day sun on Sunday. I'm Steve Pelletieri, Jr. reporting for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
75 and cloudy.
Amplify your voice.
Easy to work. Press talk button.
AM 1460, WVOX and WVIP HD2, New Rochelle.
We are back. You're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX Radio 1460 on your AM dial. My name is Dr. John Tantillo, and I'm here to listen to you. So perhaps you're out of work. Maybe your career is in limbo. Are you struggling over next steps? Why not give me a call at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. or give us a call at doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. I'm going to do, before I get into my own brand, I just want to talk a little bit about some trouble that a dear brand that I talked about last week got into trouble just this past week. And Tony Bennett had made, and I'm not going to get into the remarks he made. It's really not important. What is important is that he said he was sorry. And that's what brands should be. That's what personality brands should do when they do a misstep. And not to get into the whole thing, I mean, what he did is he weighed in on a political situation that he really shouldn't. And I advise my personality friends not to do this. It's just don't talk politics. As my mother and father once said, you don't talk about politics or religion, which is what we try to do on the show. We don't talk about that. And because you're never going to win. And what when you are an entertainer brand, people don't want you, don't really want to hear about what you think about things. They want to hear you sing. They want to see you act. That's your brand, and that's what you have to be consistent with. And there's always a trap that you could fall into. And I guess the best way I can relate to this is my mentor, Dr. Louis Primavera. He taught me everything I knew about psychology and life and more. And when I was a young man, and we sometimes in our lives we make mistakes and we say the wrong thing. And he said to me once, I was mouthing off over something because, you know, I was 28 years old and I thought I knew everything. And he said to me, John, people really don't give a darn what you think. And I'll never forget that. It's like what Rihanna says, shut up and drive. When you are a celebrity brand, it's people want what you provide them, the services that you provide them, not what you want to provide them. And when you start to talk about things that make people feel uncomfortable, that's not good. And Tony Bennett did the right thing. He apologized, and that's why he's my hero. So, but let's talk a little bit moving along. And if you'd like to give us a call, you may disagree with me. I'm at 914-636-0110, or give us a call, or give us an email at doc@brandtalkradio.com. So I had mentioned, we were losing time last week when we were talking about this, but I had gone out. I was going to my office and I was doing some moving, and my friend Frank said to me something like, "Do you always dress like this?" And I said, "Yes, I do." And what I had on as I was doing the moving, and he thought it was silly to do this, was I wear a bow tie and I wear a cuff shirt with cufflinks and a jacket. And you know, when I'm on the radio, I'm all dressed up, even though people say, well, you're on the radio, no one can see you. That's not the point. It's still part of my brand. But when I'm on TV or when I'm on the internet, there is a certain kind of hat, which is a Borsellino. There is a certain color of the hat, which is the green Borsellino. It's a fedora. It's a certain style hat. And there's a certain type of shirt I wear, which is a bold striped shirt. And there's a bow tie, which is always polka dot. However, when I am not out in the public, so to speak, or making a public appearance, what I do is wear something not as identifiable. But very, very infrequently do I just wear, let's say, a gym outfit, unless I'm going to the gym, okay? And then people, and then when I walk down the street, no one knows me. It's just very, very funny. But the point I like to make is that when I do dress up, I'm just an ordinary looking guy. But when I do, in fact, do this branding thing, people notice. That's what branding is all about. And that's what I like to try to communicate to you, is the importance of setting yourself apart so that people will respond to you positively. And not, and as I said before, it can't be what somebody makes you over to be. It's what you must be. So anyway, and my problem today is that whether or not you're a politician or you're an entertainer, you have what I call the handlers, who are in fact telling you what you should wear and what you shouldn't wear. And the theory today is that when you take a look at a young actor and actresses, but more the young actors, because the actresses do and have a better sense of style than the actors do. The point being is that they should be role models. And what the handlers are trying to communicate to these personality brands is that they should be one of the people. And I think that that's so wrong, because if you want to be a leader, okay, someone that you people look up to you, then you have to do something a little different. And it reminds me of when I was a kid coming back to the neighborhood after I received my PhD. I went back and I was went back to the neighborhood, and was talking to the guys. And I was using some salty language that they were using. I chimed in. And an older guy by the name of Benny, God rest his soul, what a great guy he was. He pulled me over. And after I did my little thing with them and I was going home, he said, "You know, John, you really shouldn't use that kind of language, because they look up to you and you don't have to use that language anymore." And that was the best advice I ever got. And I guess that's the secret in life. It's learning without being taught, as Churchill would say. And I think that that was a great lesson that I, in fact, learned. So anyway, how do you feel about that? Are you your own brand? Or are people trying to tell you what you should become? Well, why don't you give us a call at 914-636-0110 and talk to John Tantillo, the host of Brand Talk, here on WVOX Radio 1460 on your dial. And now, folks, it's time for the perennial crowd favorite, Dr. John Tantillo's Did You Know That? Did You Know That? Is where little-known facts are brought center stage for your delight, amazement, and dare I say, your continuing education. And now, did you know that?
This is Dr. John Tantillo asking, did you know that? Sometimes ordinary people have extraordinary instincts. And when these people follow their instincts, they can change the world. The year is 1932. One Richard M. Hollingshead of Camden, New Jersey, spends months sitting in his car in his driveway. Why is he doing this? The answer after a word from our sponsor. I've known James Metzger, the Whitmore Group CEO, for years. I'm a client and a friend. And I have seen how he fights for his clients and strives to meet their genuine insurance needs. Folks, it's bad to pay for insurance you don't need, but it's worse to think you're protected and then find out you're not. You want the right kind of professionals having your back. The Whitmore Group has your back. It's where a relationship is a partnership. Their number, 516-746-4141, 516-746-4141, or visit them on the web at WhitmoreGroup.com and tell them Dr. Tantillo sent you. Hollingshead has nailed a sheet to a tree. Onto the sheet he projects films from his 1928 Kodak camera. He parks other cars around his car. He simulates rainy conditions with a lawn sprinkler. You see, Hollingshead believes that people want two things. One, the entertainment that movies provide, and two, the comfort of their own cars. Legend has it that his mother was a large woman and disliked the cramped conditions of most theaters. With this inspirational push, her son is convinced that combining the automobile with the movie will equal a runaway success. So he hammered out the technical problems like poor parking angles and bad sound. A year later, he had a patent. Sadly, lack of immediate public interest and ongoing legal problems harass Hollingshead. But when the 1950s arrived, his invention swept the nation and Hollingshead's instinct was vindicated. This man from Camden was the inventor of the drive-in movie. And now you can say, yes, I know that.
We're back. You're listening to Brand Talk on WVOX AM Radio, 1460 on your AM dial. I'm Dr. John Tantillo, your host. And are you in transition or you just want to take stock of your life? Give us a call, 914-636-0110. No question is big or too small, 914-636-0110. 0110. So what can we in fact learn from this drive-in movie? Did you know that? Well, sometimes there's nothing like taking a look at successful inventions, things that meet a need that no one knew they had. The drive-in movie theater is a great example of identifying your target market before they even know that they are your target market. The idea caught on slowly at first, and Hollingshead lost his patents 17 years after he got it and had legal battles. Well, that happens. Frankly, I don't know how much he profited from his own invention, but a lot of other people did, because the drive-in movie theater as a brand ultimately proved to be a monumental success, especially during post-World War II economic booms, supplying people with more cars than ever, and the baby boom kids. What interests me about the drive-in from a marketing perspective is how the brand established itself with its target market. Basically, the target market was always out there. People liked the comfort of their cars. They liked movies. They wanted to be able to go as a family to the movies, but often couldn't because of screaming kids and etc. There were real needs that the drive-in met, but the challenge was getting people to realize that the needs could be met at a newfangled drive-in theater. After all, a drive-in was a very foreign concept to people. One way the early drive-in operators did this was to have an open house. Great example of sampling, right? During the day, they invited their customers to see how everything would work. It was a freebie that built the customer base without cutting into movie times, which could actually be shown after dark. These were events that made customers part of this new experiment. Talk about engaging your target market. This was simply guerrilla marketing 1930 style. It's also a lot like what had to be done to make the shopping cart sync with their customers. So if you have any thoughts about this, why not give us a call at 914-636-0110. No question is big or too small to give us a call at 914-636-0110. You're listening to WVOX Radio. This is Dr. John Tantillo, and this is Brand Talk. Oh, yes, and one more thing. Why not give us a call? Why don't you give us an email at doc@brandtalkradio.com? So I've been talking a little bit about TV today, and I love TV as much as I love radio. Or I love radio as much as I love TV. Radio just brings back so many great memories of when I was a kid and listening in New York to Klavan and Finch, and to, of course, later in life, William B. Williams, Hello World, and WNEW, some great radio brands I loved. And I used to listen to Jim Kerr when he was at WPOX and Steve O'Brien. I mean, just to mention just a few of the great radio brands. But anyway, I've been talking about TV, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention this interview that I caught. And I generally don't watch Nickelodeon. I like to say, I'm not their target market. But I saw this interview, and I sampled some of the show at this interview. I believe it was with ABC. And it was with this musical group called Big Time Rush, and how this group is captures the world. I mean, they go wherever they go, they've made a mark. What great marketing effort. And I gotta tip my hat to marketing. But what is so interesting from my perspective is that their packaging or their creation was not these four guys that decided to come together. This was a creation of a television network and producers coming up with four young guys who are supposed to be teenagers, but in reality they're in their 20s. I think they're all 21 years old, that have been, you know, packaged much like when I was a kid watching The Monkees, that I still, every once in a while, that I still watch Nick at Night or wherever you can catch them. And to me, this group is the contemporary Monkees. Some of it is a little difficult because I have moved on. But what they've been able to do from a marketing and branding perspective is to make these four kids liked by women, appreciated by guys, and parents who like them. This, to me, is a hat trick in terms of marketing. You can't get any better than this. So, anyway, I just am very, very impressed with what they have, in fact, been able to do. And I just think that how interesting things go back. And in this interview they actually made mention how difficult it was finding these four guys so that they could work together. And I recommend what you in fact do is go experience that show if you can, and see if I'm right. It's a little silly, but hey, what the hey? Why don't you give it a look? So anyway, if you'd like to give us a call about Big Time Rush, okay, give us a call at 914-636-0110. That's 914-636-0110. And we'll talk about that. Or might be your personal brand. Maybe it's somebody else's brand. Maybe you're deciding that you want to move into a different industry. Well, give us an email maybe at doc@brandtalkradio.com. That's doc@brandtalkradio.com. So now what I like to do is to talk a little bit. You know, I always feel somewhat vindicated, you know, when I do a few weeks ago, I did my winner and loser, and I said that Netflix was the loser of the week. Well, there's an article in the New York Times online by a writer by the name of Elizabeth Harris that said that Reed Hastings, the chief executive over at Netflix, apologized the way he handled recent changes in pricing and subscription services announced a few weeks ago, and that their DVD service should be was going to be renamed Quixtar, which I think was a very, very smart move. But two things were smart. Number one, they renamed the brand, which is something I really think is a good thing. And the second thing is that he apologized. And I just can't emphasize enough. I know lawyers, and Murray would probably advise me not to do this if I was a client of his, and that is apologize. Okay, I know it could get you into serious legal issues, but from a public relations point of view, and from a marketing perspective, and from a branding perspective, and that's what I address. I'm not a lawyer. I'm a branding guy. I'm a psychologist. I'm a teacher. And I think that we can learn by communicating to people that we have that we make mistakes. And there's nothing wrong with making a mistake. And, I make them all the time. And I know some people say you should never apologize. It shows weakness. I've been always taught to apologize when you're wrong. And believe me, when you're in the middle of something and you do something that you regret, much like what, I don't want to dwell on it, but that's why I like Tony Bennett so much. He's such a gentleman, and he did the right thing by apologizing. You say, "I'm sorry," and move on. And if people don't accept that, well, that's the price you pay. That's the price you pay for entree. And anyway, so let's get back to Netflix. He basically said, Mr. Hastings, "I messed up and I owe everyone an explanation." He said that the DVD by service mail, which is how the company began, would become the Quixtar brand with its own management team. And the name Netflix would remain for movie streaming, according to the company's statement, which will be posted around 9 p.m. Pacific time. And Quixtar and Netflix will appear on separate lines on the customer's credit card bills. And the price of the company's services will not change. Well, we're done with that, said Hastings. I mean, this is terrific stuff. And, you know, I just can't say enough about it. But some background here is that it was, after all, just the kind of change that prompted outrage from Netflix customers this summer when the cost of a subscription went up from $10 per month to $16 per month, a 60% increase. and that it cost, are you ready for this, 1 million of its 25 million customers to leave the company, so that their shares fell 15% last week when the customer figures were announced. So from a, not only from a branding perspective, but from a financial perspective, that is just too much to take. Anyway, what's also very interesting is that Mr. Hastings did not apologize for increasing subscription fees or for asking customers to think about the two services separately, but instead he believed his own arrogance based on past success for the failure to face a fast-changing business model. This is why I have to tip my hat off to him, even though last week he was, in fact, a loser. A few weeks ago, I think that there is something here to be said about what he's done. Okay, folks. That's all for this week. Listen to Brand Talk every Wednesday from 3 to 4 on WVOX, 1460 on your AM dial. This is Dr. John Tantillo saying, it's always easier when you keep your brand in mind. See you next week.
The information you need all day long and the music of your life all night long. This is America.